I'm less exercised and shocked, you might say. I'm less shocked or less concerned about the language that he used in those documents 25 years ago than I am concerned by his silence today. Because the silence that he has retreated behind in recent weeks has allowed other people to sort of take the lead in defending him. And look at the people who are now coming out and making these statements. First, Cardinal Levada, who took out after the New York Times on the Vatican website. Well, when William Levada was the Archbishop of San Francisco, he had the unique distinction of being the only bishop in the United States of America to be successfully sued by one of his own priests. And this is all a matter of public record. It's been widely reported, but people tend to forget things. John Connolly, a priest in San Francisco, is a former assistant U.S. attorney. He was a federal attorney in Detroit, moved west, like many people, a late vocation, as it is called, became a priest in his 50s. He was serving in a parish, and he saw the pastor making advances on a boy. He reported it to the church. The church didn't do anything, and then he reported it to the district attorney's office. For that, he was suspended from the priesthood by Archbishop Levada. And Connolly, being an attorney in his previous life, wasn't going to take that, and so he filed a lawsuit, basically as a whistleblower. And in the end, the California appellate court upheld him, and the archdiocese paid a generous settlement. They called it a pre-retirement package. And then the church publicly apologized. Well, this is the guy who's now in charge of the office. I'm talking about Levada.
Levada is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, to get rid of the, defrock the pedophiles. So he is now on the charge, attacking the New York Times. Then you have Cardinal Sodano, the former Secretary of State, who gave the Easter Sunday sermon defending the Pope, scoffing at the news media. Well, this is Sodano who covered up for Maciel for years. So many of these men who are in positions of authority are compromised. You might say, metaphorically speaking, they have dirty hands.
Right. They're covering their own butts. I mean, they don't want to come out and say that, but if everybody's as guilty and has been as long as it is obvious that they were, then you can't help but conclude that they were asleep at the switch in some form. And so in order to deflect that potential criticism, better to go on a good offense with the New York Times and with others and say, look at the timing of this, and isn't it awful how they're doing it? And to try to play sort of an emotional card as opposed to, I think, the mea culpa. Which is what people are asking for. Still, they're looking for an honest appraisal at the top of the church that says, "We didn't do this right, and look at all of the damage we did, and we're so sorry, and we're going to change the way we do this."
Well, that's true. And the problem that Benedict faces today is that by retreating into this cocoon of silence and allowing these other people to sort of come out and try to counterattack, he has created a much worse problem, not just for himself, but for the institution of the papacy. Look, regardless of what non-Catholics may think of the Catholic Church, there has for many years been a general view of the Pope as a figure of world peace. You may not agree with the Catholic Church stance on gay rights or on celibacy or on abortion or whatever the issues may be, but most people grudgingly will admit that the Pope is a symbol of world peace, because popes historically, at least in the last century, have tried to prevent war. It pains me to see Benedict unable to speak out. There is now an indication from the Vatican press office that he's going to meet with a group of abuse survivors. I hope that's the case. I hope it's a long listening session, but what he's really got to do is change the archaic tribunal system of the Vatican. Until they get a genuine system of criminal justice in there, they're going to continue to sink into this quagmire.
Do you think there's ever a chance, is there a trajectory in this story that would ever lead to the resignation of the Pope?
You know, I've seen a lot of speculation on that. There's even an article in today's New York Times, the Week in Review section on that. I rather doubt it. Popes do not typically resign. It's not like being a president. Well, look, I mean, how many presidents in the 20th century resigned? One, Richard Nixon, who was driven out of office because of Watergate. No, I don't want to speculate on what will happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but what concerns me is that if he does not get the advice of people outside of the Roman Curia, people outside of the Vatican bureaucracy, what he really needs is a handful of astute international advisors, especially legal scholars, judges, people who can come in and sit down with him and say, okay, look, you've got a terrible problem. You've got to get rid of some of these bishops. You've got to remove them. I mean, for God's sake, why is Cardinal Bernard Law on the board of the Congregation for Bishops? The man who left Boston in disgrace is one of the consultors to the Vatican Department that chooses bishops. I mean, this is rewarding someone who created a disaster.